Just think a little bit about the stumbling blocks that get in a preacher's way. And I'm sure my land, I thought, well, that's simple enough. I ought to be able to do something with that. And I wished I was a scholarly man like that fellow is. I know you don't like that, but that's okay. It's true. And but it's so good to be with you. But the stumbling blocks. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's just read verse 2 there. My goodness, I ought to be able to quote that, shouldn't I? But so familiar. But verse 2, and verse 12. Excuse me, I didn't see the one. Verse 12, and you've been sitting for a little while, so why don't you stand up out of respect for God's word, and let's read that verse, okay? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brothers and sisters, is that true?
Yes.
I mean, I found out when I first come to salvation, when the Lord first saved me, I was the happiest young man on the face of the earth. I had lived a very rowdy life. Now, I didn't stand up forever, so I'm going to let you all sit down. But I was one of these kids that I was sneaky. I was a Jacob. I slipped around and had my fun, and then on the surface, I looked like I was not good boy. Anybody here ever been that? Well, why don't you raise your hand, make me feel better. But that's the way it was. And I was raised in church. Matter of fact, I don't remember not going to church. And wasn't a Baptist church, but it's where my parents went, my grandparents went. And I was raised in that church. My older brother and sister, they went forward in a service and said whatever they were supposed to say, and then the day came, they were baptized. I watched all that. Well, then a few years later, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, it must be my time. So I went ahead and stepped out and went forward, and I'm just a kid about 9 years old, and I said whatever the preacher said up there. I have no idea what he said or even what I said. But then the day came that I was to be baptized. Well, that particular denomination believed in immersion, and which is biblically correct. And I think it was an evening service. But I'm going to tell you right now, when that preacher put me down, he scared the living fire out of me. I mean, I came up bubbling and squalling, and somehow or other, I wanted out of that place. I thought he was trying to drown me. Well, anyway, I got away from that, and all the old ladies in the church thought I was the cutest little boy they'd ever seen, and they decided that, boy, I mean, I was probably going to grow up and be a preacher. How many of you can identify a little bit with this story? So I went on. I remember my grandma gave me a little New Testament. And You know, so I was proud of that. I had that little Bible, and I carried it with me whenever I went to church, and all of that. Well, years went by, and I continued to grow in the ways of the world. But I found out that if anybody found out that I'd been doing something wrong, Brother Harvey, I got in trouble. And so I decided, well, you know, the best way to do this is just not let anybody find out. And so I would sneak around, get away from Mom and Dad, and I would enjoy whatever there was to enjoy. I mean, I never robbed a bank or killed anybody, but, you know, I might as well have. It's just that I was a sneak. I was always small for my age. I grew 2 more inches after I went in the Army, brother. And I gained a little more weight. But nevertheless, as time went on in my teenage years, it finally got to my senior year. And back in that time, 1958, there was a program that started in our high school called Youth for Christ. I'd never heard it before. Back then, it was a relatively new movement. And lo and behold, a couple of friends that I'd learned to know in Millgrove. How many of you ever been to Millgrove? Oh, one hand went up. That's a majority. But anyway, in Millgrove there, we lived there, and I'd got to know these friends. We had a little bit of fun together. But then that year in high school, all of a sudden they started coming to school carrying a Bible. And I thought, what's the matter with them? You carry a Bible on Sunday. Okay? Ain't no place for a Bible in school. Now, I would have fit into the modern day with that philosophy, but back then, you know, that wasn't there yet. And those friends of mine, they acted different. And I thought, what's the matter with them? And they started talking to me. And I thought, wait a minute, I thought you was my friend. And they were different. And lo and behold, they got to talking to me. And they said, Dave, he said, you ought to go to our meetings. And somehow or other, when they talked to me, something icy got a hold of me right here. And I thought, man, I don't like this. Something is wrong. Well, I found out that they were Christians. I thought, well, so am I. Glad that's even the name of the church I'm going to. It's a Christian church. I've been baptized. I got to gone to Sunday school ever since I can even remember. I've got a little string of gold things on that I hang on here. And I even got one more than what I really deserved because I talked to the deacon that was in charge of that, told him I had missed that one. He said, oh, well, here, I'll just give you one. So I was carrying around a lie on my chest, you know, but I had gold medals, all right? But anyway, these friends of mine, they kept after me. And I found that somehow or other, as they kept after me, our friendship kept getting farther and farther apart. Because they was weird. You know, a Christian that really knows Jesus is a weird person. I mean, they love to go to church. They love to be around other Christians. They love to sing the songs of the faith. They love what the Bible says, and they love good preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been an ordained Baptist minister since, well, let's see, I guess that's when I was 29 or something like that down in North Carolina. And I hate to say this. Brother Randall, tell me to shut my mouth. But I found out that even Baptists have phonies in it. Well, I knew all about that. Now, I'm getting ahead of my story, and I'm going to try to finish this up. Can you hold up a finger over there, Brother Knuckles, when my time's done? Okay. And so, in high school there, towards the end of the year, lo and behold, those Youth for Christ nuts were going to have what they called a rally. Well, that really was like a youth revival. I didn't know what that was. Church I went to never even heard of something like that. Church I went to, like I heard a comedian say one time, when you walked into the building, you was real quiet because you didn't want to wake up those people in the stained glass windows. See? Well, anyway, long story shorter, they started asking me, well, David, we want you to go to the rally with us. And I looked at him and I said, well, Ray, I don't want to go. And they looked at me and had their Bible in their hand in the hallway of school. And lo and behold, I managed to dodge them for quite a while. Every time they talked to me, there was a knot got right in the middle of my stomach. And just scared the daylights out of me. And I thought, man, I never been scared of these boys. What in the world's wrong with them? But anyway, as you can guess, the day came for the rally. And they had ding-donged me to the point where I actually felt ashamed of myself. I don't know where that came from, because I was never ashamed of myself. But anyway, we only had one car in our family, an old beat-up Willie's, car. Remember those Willie's cars? Same people that made the Jeep made the Willie's cars. Anyway, that's what we had, and I drove my dad's car 10 miles over to Montpelier, and I went to that church that had been barred for the occasion. And I sat down in that pew, and of course they had some songs and this, that, and the other. Finally, there was a young man got up there. He looked to me like he was about maybe 22. And he got to talking out of John chapter 3 and talking about when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know, I didn't ever hear that story before. And I thought, but the more he told about that story, how that God told Moses that those that had been snake bit by the snake bite of sin, if they just look upon that brazen snake,
man, hey, mate.
Oh, yes.
And put their faith,
yeah,
in what God promised. That snake bite would just be gone. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That got a hold of me. I didn't know why. I kept sitting there saying to myself, why does that bother me? I'm a Christian. Land, I've been baptized. I've been put under and nearly drowned. Land gracious, I'm a good boy. Just ask my mom. She didn't know me. You know what I'm saying. And lo and behold, that young man kept talking, and he evidently wasn't a Baptist, Brother Randall, because he didn't yell. You know, in the Baptist ministry, if you don't yell and dance and shout and raise cane and raise a leg now and then, you ain't a preacher. I'll tell you just a little, chase a little rabbit here. Down in North Carolina, when I first started going to that Baptist school down there, first time I heard a young man, I mean, I was saved by this time, I'm ahead of the story, okay? But first time I heard somebody shout, I heard somebody go, woo! And I looked behind me, I thought, somebody just broke their leg. And I saw this young man down, long way down a hall there, and he was standing there doing something like this, and I thought, what is wrong with him? Man, I'd never seen anything like that, even in Indiana, after I was saved. Anyway, back to the other story. That young man stood up there and told that story about that brass snake. And we had our heads bowed and in prayer, nobody looking around. And all of a sudden, one of my friends was on one side and one of my friends was on the other side. And all of a sudden, one of them leaned over and says, David, if you want to go down to the altar, I'll go with you. I thought, you must be nuts. Land, I only got one desire here tonight, and that's to get out of this place. Because something's got a hold of me that I don't want any part of. I think I'm going to have a heart attack, and I'm only 18 years old. I didn't understand. Yeah. Brother Harvey, I didn't understand. Nobody had ever told me. And I'd gone to church all of my life.
Yeah, tell it.
The stumbling blocks of Satan. I'm going to tell you something. He's the sneakiest character that there is. And he can throw stumbling blocks in your path that you don't even know are there. He can stand in your way in ways that you can't even begin to see. Now understand this. I was not a Christian. But somehow or other, in the spiritual world, there's communication. And I don't know how he does it or why God lets him. But he finds out things, Satan. And somehow or other, he knew that God had a reason for me being alive. I nearly got killed once in the summer before I got saved. Nearly got killed. Still see the headlights of that old Buick. Just missed me through this fuzzy hole. Because my dad's car had been hit in this back corner. I was in the front seat, summertime, and it hit so hard, even though the door was locked, it shoved the door through the hinges and unlocked, and I went out backwards. And that Buick that hit my dad's car, and it went away from it, but it just missed me. And rocks and dirt, country roads, flying up just like a cloud. And I can see that as clear today as if I'd just happened. I didn't know I'd been thrown out of the car, because the side of my head hit the side of the car door opening and knocked me out. But somehow that picture was there. I mean, I could see the tire going by. And I never even thought about my spiritual condition. And that was after that spring when that young man told about that snake. See, I'd convinced myself that I was okay. I'd convinced myself that just get away from there and get that icicle out of my heart. Well, lo and behold, that fall, 1958, my dad, who amazingly was a Christian, even in that church, and I'm not throwing off on no church, brother, but you preachers know what I'm talking about. The gospel is not being preached most places.
That's right.
And there's some Baptist churches that they're more interested in building a big church than they are in preaching,
right.
in preaching the word of God.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I'm nobody, like the old saying goes, but I know somebody that loves everybody and will save anybody.
Amen.
And that fall, my daddy, I heard him make the announcement that there was some young preacher going to be on TV. We had this little 19-inch black and white TV that somebody gave us. And he said, I want to see him. And his name was Billy Graham. And I thought, who in the world is that? Well, I knew he was a preacher. I'd heard something about him somewhere. And so I said, well, I'm going to be busy. I ain't going through that again. Them icicles in the heart are a bad experience. I don't need that. I've been baptized. I've gone to church. I mean, I probably left some of my diaper on a seat somewhere in that place. I don't need that. But when I heard about my dad was going to watch that, there was a little icicle got me. I said, oh, no, not again. Man, I got to get busy. I'm going to go squirrel hunting. I'm gonna go out and walk the fields. I'm gonna do anything else. I'm gonna be busy. Well, the days went by, and pretty soon it was time for that program to come on, that week of meetings. And I thought, Brother Harvey, I'm gonna be busy. And I mean, I was walking around, I was nervous, man. I thought, man, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to go through that again. But that first night of that meeting, I was right there on the couch in between my mom and my dad watching that television, because I wanted to know if I was right with God or not.
Amen.
I wanted to know. I wanted to end this feeling I wanted to somehow do something about that, and somehow there was a drawing upon me that seemed to tell me that at that spot on the couch, I'd find the answer. Well, he preached, did a fine job. Back at that time, he'd turn to the TV at camera at the end of it, and he'd say, "If you're here, if you're in a restaurant or in a bar or at your home, if you'll just bow your head and lift your hand and ask Jesus to forgive your sins and come into your heart, he'll save you." Save me. Save me. Save me from what? Well, I'd listened to him preach, and I understood. All of a sudden, that story about the snake came back.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I get it. I understand. It's amazing how God can open your eyes and your heart to the truth. And I'd never even read the Bible. Second night, I was right there. By this time, I thought I was going to have a heart attack for sure. And I thought, man, I'm developing an ulcer. This is awful. I didn't know, Brother Randall, that I was under conviction. I didn't know what conviction was. You talk about ignorant, full of church going, but stupid. Ignorant of God's truth.
Amen.
Ignorant, knowing all about Jesus, land, I know he died on the cross. I believe that. I just didn't know that he died for me. I didn't have a personal relationship with him. Man. Second night, Billy preached. Same deal again. Oh, during that invitation. Man, my mouth went drier than desert sand. I sat there and I thought, man, this is awful. But there's something here. There's something here. There's an answer here. Third night, Wednesday. Remember the tent revival? I asked for that thing when they was going through each day of the week. And I said, go through it again, because I didn't understand what it meant. I wanted to stand up on Wednesday. But Wednesday evening, Billy preached, gave the invitation, and I sat there, my hand shot up, my head dropped, and I said, Jesus, come into my heart and save me and forgive me of my sins. And much to my amazement, that awful feeling of fear was instantly replaced with a joy that I thought my heart was going to jump out of my chest. I thought, what is going on here? How can something that's so dark and terrible suddenly turn as broad and bright as the brightest sun? And I don't hear audible voices when God speaks to me, but I hear him. And he's very plain. And for the first time, I heard him. And he said, David, go upstairs to your bedroom and let's finish this. And man, I jumped up out of that seat and up the stairs. I went to my bedroom, dropped on my knees by my bed, down on the floor. And I said, oh, Lord, I believe. I accept your death on the cross, your shed blood for my sin. I'm so glad that you persevered and saved this poor boy. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here this afternoon, young person, older person, and if you have any doubt about your salvation, I know this is a special meeting, but I'm going to ask you right now. Now listen to me. You may have been a Baptist all your life. You may have gone to a Baptist church all your life. You may have done everything that they do in a Baptist church. But I'm going to ask you right now, if you have any doubt that if you were to die right now, if you have any doubt where you would spend eternity, if you have any doubt concerning whether you'll go to heaven or not, listen to me. Would you raise your hand right now? I'm not going to come back there and talk to you. Does anybody here doubt where their eternal destiny is? How many of you would willingly raise your hand right now and say, I know, preacher. I know that I'm going to go to heaven when my soul leaves this body. Raise your hand. This is to the Lord. This is to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was represented in Moses' day by a brass snake. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad today? How many can raise up and lift up your eyes and praise the Lord and thank Him that you're born again?
Yes, amen. Amen, preacher.
Beloved, you'll not escape the blocks of Satan. But I'm going to tell you something. You have jumped over the biggest hurdle he can throw when you came to Jesus. Thank you, brother.